Everybody said today's daf is daf tzadik gimel, and we're holding five lines from the top of the umud. As you recall, we completed yesterday 16 separate she'elos u'tshuvos rabba to rabba bameri. Zokta tzimara, we're going to learn another few lines of agadata umr av chanan ha'moyser din al chaveroi hu ne'anash techila. A moyser din means that a person refuses to go into court and rather says, Rabbeinu Shalom, look what that person ba'aveled me. Look what he did to me. I want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the supreme justice of the world, you punish him. The trouble with that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the person's bakasha, and he says, if he wants me to go and sit in judgment about the defendant, let's first see who the plaintiff is. So he takes out the records, so to speak, about the plaintiff, and he says, Es och nish kaza groisa tzadik. And therefore, unfortunately, Chas v'Shalom, the Bnei Shalom may say, before I look at the defendant, the person who's being charged with this crime, I'm first going to see whether the plaintiff is a tzaddik, and he finds out that that's not the case, and therefore, who ne'anash t'chila? The moisedin, the one that goes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be done, he, Chas v'Shalom, will be punished first.
Is this parallel to the Gemara we had yesterday, that one who's davens for someone is...
So in fact, some of the Mefarshim...
So why should you have something like that on the contrary, just because he's davening to say something bad about another person?
So in fact, there are Mefarshim that tie in this Shtikl Chazal with the first Rava asking Rava Bameri yesterday, where he asked him, we know how mil to the Amar Abanakal Mavakish Rachman Lachavedig, who Tzarech Lo Isidavar, who Ne'enet Chila. So here there's a parallel, a Moisidin Al Chavedig, who Ne'enasht Chila. It's to the contrary, but here, of course, here we're not asking that someone's being mispal on behalf of somebody else, here's being mispal against somebody else. Shinema, like it says in the Paz, Betoy Mesare El Avram Chamosi Olecha. Now the Gemara leaves out the last half of the Pasuk, which is really the key to this Maimer Chazal, because not for me, Rabbi Cohen, for you. Not for me. So the Pasuk says, "Vatoymes Sarai El Avram Chamosi Olecha, Anoichi Nosati Shivchosi Bechekecha, Vateira Ki Harasa VeEkal BeEineha." How does the Pasuk end off? Yishpoit Hashem Beini Uveinecha. Sarai now calls out Rabbeinu Shloim. Yishpoit Hashem. I want you to be the shofet. You should judge between me and between you, between Avram Avinu. So therefore, she was the plaintiff asking Hashem to be done against Avraham. What happened? Ksiv shteit vaitim pasik v'yovei Avram lispoy l'sara v'liv koisa. Unfortunately, Sarah passed away before Avram Avinu. I'm sorry?
There is a gap of years.
Yeah.
Between this incident was before Yitzchak was born, and Sarah passed away when Yitzchak was 40.
Okay.
We are talking about the distance of
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Erech HaPayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Marech Af. Hashem doesn't give instantaneous punishment. He's a Marech Af. However, Sarah, as we know, was 10 years younger than Avram Avinu, yet she died 40 or 50 years before Avram Avinu. What's the reason why? Says Agamara, because she was the one that was Moiser Din Al Chaveroi. Here the Chaveira was her husband to the Rabbeinu Shloim and Nebuch, who Nenash Tchila.
How come a great woman like Sarai Menu had such a marital relationship with Abraham?
Right.
This is very hard to understand.
That's hard to understand the Pasuk, even before you get to the Gemara. It's hard to understand Yishpar Hashem B'ni U'Venecha, Avraham Avinu.
Exactly.
In the Tanakh Shir, in the Chumash Shir. All we have to do is understand the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is, be careful not to be moisted din al chaveri to the Rabbeinu Shalom, because unfortunately the plaintiff may get punished before the defendant. But now the question is, that only applies, says the Gemara, v'hani mili to islay dina ba'ara. Islay dina ba'ara doesn't really mean dina, it really means dina ba'ara. That's only if there is a bezdin to whom you can turn to. So instead of going to the bezdin, you went directly up to the Supreme Court, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom says, no, you should have gone through the normal judicial processes. You didn't? Chas v'Shalom, who nanish t'chila. The problem over here is in the times of Abraham and Sarah, which Bezin was there? There wasn't the Bezin of America, there wasn't the Sachtas Rabbanim. So which Bezin? That's what you're going to ask?
It's the Sheva Eber, but even still.
So let's look at the top Toysis, your mamish, mechavin to the Toysis. The Toysis. The Ikka Dine Ba'ara Ubi Me Sarah Hoya Bezin Shel Shame Kayim. Bezin of Shame was there. So it was a shame for her to go and ask about Avram, when she could have gone to the Bezin Shoshem.
But her complaint was, well, I just looked it up, her complaint was that Hagar was mavaza her because she was lighting her eyes.
Right.
What type of complaint can you go to Bezin with that?
What is Rashi saying, Chumash? You only looked at the Pasuk, you don't look at Rashi.
Rashi says,
she said to Avram Avinu, you were mispal about yourself. Why wouldn't you mispal about me? Had you mispal about me, then I would have been zoicha to have a child together with you. Since you mispal for yourself, that's why you had a child, but with Hagar and not with me.
Can you sue somebody for not being mispal? I mean, you're talking about a civil lawsuit. Can you go and sue somebody? Can I go into a court, into a Beis Din, and say this person's not davening for me?
That's what he wants.
You and I cannot do something like that. But Avram and Sarah, we're talking about much higher madrigas.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. Amr of Yitzhak, the Gemara continues on in the same vein. This continues the same Maim Chazal. Someone who's crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, help me out. Oy ochen vei to him, Yoytze min ha-nitzak, if he's complaining about someone specifically, and says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see that Yanko fellow, he's a bad guy, go and punish him, etc. Chas v'sholom, woe to him more than a nitzak, because Kadosh Baruch Hu may first go and effect punishment on him, because who ne'anash t'chila, like the Gemara said before. What does he mean? So the top Rashi quotes half of the pasuk. The pasuk begins, "Bahoya ki tzoik yitzak elai, shemoya eshmat zeakosoi, v'chora api v'rakti eschem bechoret." So the pasuk is talking about a person who's tzoik yitzak elai, someone who has suffered some injustice. Shemoy Eshmat Zakosai, I will listen to his pain. Bechora Api Varagti Eschem Bechorev. Bechorev, you say Bechora Api Varagti Oisoi or Oischov. What is the Eschem? That unfortunately, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go and pay and punish this Nitzak means about the subject of the Tzaka, of the complaint. Chas Hashem is also going to effect punishment against the Tzoek. How do I see that from the word Eschem, that it's plural, it includes both of them. Therefore, be careful anytime you mispal to Hashem to go and effect punishment against a particular individual, stay away from that because it can have terrible effects. Rather, ask the Baruch Shalom, he should do what needs to be done, but not go and complain about a particular individual that he should be punished by the Baruch Shalom. The Amr of Yitzchak, Le'olam alti killas hejot kala be'enecha. Be careful when you have a killas hejot, even though the guy's a hejot meaning not a very choshev guy, but just the klola from a non-choshev guy can chas v'shalom also have dramatic effect. Shari Avimelech killal es sora b'niskayim bizara. Avimelech was mekalel, he cursed Sora Imenu, as we'll see in the pasuk momentarily, and although it didn't happen to Sora directly, it happened to her son, to Yitzchak. What was that? Shenema, hine hu loch ksuseinayim l'chola she'itoch. So this hulach ksusei na'im, Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is, this that I'm giving you now, these presents, this will cover over the whole incident, that people will realize that I was taki guilty, I Avimelech, and you Sarah were blameless. So this will be ksusei na'im, this will be a nice appeasement. However, the Gemara dashes the word ksusei na'im as if to say, that chas v'sholom, you Sara Imenu, you should have a kisui einayim that you shouldn't be able to see. It's Omalah. Avimelech said to Sara, Hoyel v'kisisa mimeni, v'loy gilisa shehu yisheich, v'garamt elai hatzar hazeh, because you caused me all of these tzaris by hiding the fact that you are husband and wife with Avram. You acted as if you're siblings. Yirotet shehu lecha b'nei kisui einayim. You should be zocher that unfortunately in your family you should have those that their eyes will be covered over, meaning that they will be blind or akin to blind. It's kind of bizarre. We see there was a kiyam siv. Yitzchak was not able to see any longer, and that's why he thought Esav was Yaakov, as we know from the psukim.
Why should it be this kind of bizarre? I mean, it's one thing if somebody to be there, but you know, the parents being visited on the children.
Mm-hmm.
Why should Lo Yinakash, mm-hmm. it says, mm-hmm. you know, Hashem is, you know, to future generations. Mm-hmm. So if Hashem's punishment doesn't go beyond the generation that sinned, Allah has come to come, a hedgehog, and Avi Melech should say something and should be visited on the descendant.
What the Pasuk is telling us is the Kadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis, and only the person that himself sinned is the one that Hashem will exact punishment from.
Right.
But we're not going to La Yumse Abis Albanim, La Yumse Banim Alavoisam. Each Ishbechata Yumaso, each one who did his chet, he has his balance sheet and he will be punished. Wow. The only time when Chas V'Shalom continues to the next generation, say Chazal, is only if Masa Avos Biyodai, if he continues on the same scandalous and criminal conduct of his father, then Chas V'Shalom. But otherwise, only that individual, everybody else in the family is totally not.
And Yitzchak repeated this story with Rivka, when he went to Avimelech, and he said, she's my sister, very good.
Okay, so therefore, but the Gemara is telling us is very dramatically that a Chas V'Shalom, someone who gives a bracha, or Lahavla, someone who gives a klola, even if the klola is not from Odom Godol, but it's from a person like Avimelech, unfortunately, a klola can also have drastic and dramatic ramifications. Therefore, be very, very careful about not uttering any curses.
Why should there be a comparison between, you know, we shouldn't take it for granted, or we belittle it? Bracha people say, you know, they give chashivas. So clearly shouldn't be any chashivas at all.
Just like it says, Al tehi birchas hejid kal beinecha, Al tehi kalos hejid. It means that anything that a person...
Why should a klola be accepted?
A person should be very careful about what he says. As you always repeat, Kol Asher, or Tasa, whatever you say. No, but it means generally. Be careful what you say, whether it's for good or for bad, because any speech that a person says could have ramifications. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, and therefore Yitzchak Avinu Nebuch was blinded because of this klala of Avimelech. Amr Bavol, the oilim ye odem min hadin dafim v'loy min haroidfim. If Chas V'Shalom, somebody is roidif after somebody else, is causing him all types of pain and anguish, he should rather be a nirdaf rather than a roidif. She'en lucha nirdaf v'oifes yoisem mitoyrim b'nei yoyna. Those birds that are the greatest nirdafim, if you ever go to the park and you see a collection of pigeons who are all eating from the crumbs that people throw in the park, if you just get close, all of them immediately run and they all immediately fly away because they all macha plate, exactly. She'en lucha nirdaf v'oifes yoisem mitoyrim b'nei yoyna. The pigeons and the dove, they all run for the hilt. Bechshina kosel gam bezbech. Kadosh Baruch Hu says those are the types I want, the nidofim and not the roifim. And as we know, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Har Sinai instead of all the tall mountains.
Why is that connected to our Gemara? What's the kesher from the previous Gemara?
Because the Gemara was talking about those that are tzoek and nitzak.
Thank you.
Therefore, now you have the roif and the nidof. Okay. Now getting back to leaving now Agarita and getting back into our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah on the surface is inconsistent in halacha, and the Gemara is going to address the reason for that inconsistency, and the Gemara is going to give us three separate reasons. Now, what inconsistency are we talking about? If we go back for a moment to yesterday's Mishnah on Tzadik Bey's Amud Aleph, Mishnah at the top of the Amud, the first part of the Mishnah was Haggadic in nature, beginning to the second half of the Mishnah on the fifth, sixth line, Ha'oimer. Yankel says to Beryl, Samei es eini, go ahead, you can go and blind me, chas v'shalom. Katei es yodi, you can go and cut off my arm, chas v'shalom, my hand. Shaber es ragli, go ahead and break my leg. If Beryl accepts the invitation and does that,
still chayiv.
What happens if he tells him, Almanas liftar? Yeah, you'll be potter, don't worry. I'm not going to go and ask you or question you for liability. You're going to be potter. Nevertheless, says the Mishnah, you're chayiv. In other words, you can't waive liability for something like that. Even if he says it directly and expressly, yeah, Almanas liftar, still you're chayiv. We'll see why in the Gemara in a moment. Now, on the other hand, what happens if Yankel says to Beryl, don't sever my hand or my arm, but Karas Ksusi, go ahead and tear my garment. Sheberes kadi, go and destroy my barrel. What's halacha? Noch mul chayiv. That's consistent with what we said before. But now, what happens if he says, Amanas, liftar, don't worry, you'll be off the hook, potter, then you're potter. And the question is, why in the ratio when he said, Amanas, liftar, when it had something to do with his person, chayiv, when it has to do with the mominus, is it potter? And that's the Gemara discussion. I'm sorry, was it there? Okay, so we're going to see. The Gemara is going to address those types of sparks. Amli Ravasi Bar Chomel Rava Maishla Reisha Maishla Sefer. Why here is Amanas Liftar Chayiv? Here it says Amanas Liftar is Potter. Amale Reisha Lefishein Odom Moichel Al Roshe Evarim. A person is not Moichel on his own body. He can say it, but he doesn't really mean it. Rashi doesn't address what the circumstances were. The Rashba says it's talking about, for instance, a person said it bekaas, or the person said it beleitzonis. He didn't really mean it, because deep in a person's heart, he's not going to be moichel on his Rashi Evarim to go and say, sure, you can go and take off my arm and my leg and my this and my that. No problem. No liability. You're off the hook. No risk. Even if a person says it, he doesn't really mean it, and therefore he is chayiv nevertheless. But that's only Rashi Evarim, because ain't Rashi Evarim choizim. They don't return. However, if you go and damage my suit, so my, it's okay, buy a new suit. I'll go and have it, I'll take it to the tailor and he'll fix it. Nishkefel. So a person can go and waive liability vis-a-vis his mominus, but he doesn't waive liability. Even if he says it, it's not binding on himself. That's the teretz of Rava. Omalei, so he told him, I'll show you that l'chayra, that's not the correct pshat. What happens if you cause the person terrible bodily pain? Is a person a moichel on that? And yet, the sani, we have a braisa, hikani, pitzani, go and give me a clap, give me a slap. Pitzani means go and cause me an injury, but not a type of injury like a chabura or like a chavola. In other words, not a life-threatening or a major bodily damage, such as blinding someone or chas v'shalom severing a limb. Ikani pitzani, give me a zetz, give me a blow. Yeah, what about amanas liftar? Will you patter me? Yeah, you're patter. So seeing this braisa, ikani pitzani, we're not talking about a permanent damage. So therefore, there is no nezek involved, but certainly there is a tsar involved. Person gives the guy a zetz, or he feels it for the next hour or two, and maybe there might even be a boishes if it's in public, etc. Anyway, so the point is, here it says it's potter. Didn't you just say ain't on a moichel? Tomorrow ishtik, he didn't know what to answer on this kasha. Instead, Rava said, "I'm a midish mi l'chabah. Maybe you heard some sort of pshat to explain our mishnah." Even though he himself says, I'm moichel on my Rashi Evarim, that technically would work, says Rav Sheshes. The problem is, nobody lives in a vacuum. Everybody has family members, brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, nieces, uncles, aunts, parents, siblings, etc., etc. If he's going to go around without an arm or without a leg or without an eye or whatever, it's going to be an embarrassment. And people are going to say, oh, how did this happen? It might affect shiduchim, it might affect business, it might affect other relationships. So therefore, it's a begam mishpacha. So even though he's moichel, the b'nei mishpacha are not moichel. That's why you have to go and pay because of them. That's shot number one that we have in our Gemara. Itmar, Rabbi Oishi Omer Mishum Begam Mishpacha. Like we just said, the reason why in our Mishnah, even though he said Almas Liftar on the body, he is chayiv, because Begam Mishpacha. Rav Omer Mishum Shein Odom Moichel Rosh Yevarim Shaloi. Like we said before, a person is not Moichel. The problem is, but what about that Braisa Legabi, the Inyan of Tsa'ar? So if you look at the fourth line of Rashi at the top, Rava Amal Afisha and Oda Moichel Al Rashi Evarim Ubraisa Loi Tikshi. Don't worry about the Braisa, the Al Tsaroi Moichel Adam. A person cannot be Moichel on the permanent loss of a vital limb. A person not Moichel on his arm, his leg, his eyes, his ears. However, Tsar, this came a Moichel Zan. Because after. I'm sorry? Okay. Number one and number two. the tzar goes away after a while. I mean, you feel the sting of the pain for an hour, for 2 hours, whatever it is, but eventually it goes away, it subsides. Mashenkin, the permanent hezek, that never goes away. The person's not moichel on that. So far, we have two pshatim in the Mishnah. The reason why, even though he says, Amanas Liftar, he is chayiv, either because, although he is moichel, the mishpacha is not moichel, and he has to pay al spagam mishpacha. Rabbi says, because there's no such thing as mechila by your own person, because a person is not moichel on his Rosh Hivar. But that doesn't apply to the case of the krak susi. There's no pagam mishpacha, because he'll take off the suit, he'll wear a different suit. He'll take off the shirt, he'll wear a different shirt. And it's not a Rosh Hivar, it's a person's moichel. Those are the two turrets. But now we have teretz number three, the teretz of Rabbi Yochanan. The teretz of Rabbi Yochanan is not as easy as the other two. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Yesh Hen Shehu Kilav V'Yesh Lav Shehu Kehen. Sometimes when people speak, they speak sarcastically. When they say the word yes, they really mean no. And when they say no, they really mean yes. So what does that have to do with our Gemara? So we'll see the Rashi in a moment. Rashi says the pshat in the Mishnah says, sorry. The fellow Reuven said to Shimon, go samei eseini. Yeah, you can go and take out the eye. Kateyis yadi. You can go and cut off my limb. Shaberis rakli. And now the other person asked him, tell me, amanas liftar. If I go and do that, will I be potter? And then when he said, sure. Yeah, of course. So he didn't say it in a nice way. He said it in a sarcastic way. The sarcastic way he meant to say is, what, you think I'm such a mishigina? I'm going to go and allow you to go and take off one of my vital limbs, and then you're going to be potter? Come on, what are you talking about? So therefore, even though he said hen, he really meant love. And the gabi, the case of the begodlim, was just the opposite. Even though he said love, he really meant hen. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, 6 lines from the top of the Amud. Od the moichel ala koil. The truth of the matter is, a person can be moichel on everything. Not like we said before, ein od the moichel rashi varm. A person can be moichel. Umasisin lav the omale nechbal lechoyvel katei es yodi amanasha tehei potter. In other words, the way you could have learned the Mishnah is, he told him, and don't worry, Almanas Liftar, you'll be potter from paying anything. No, that's not the case. But rather, he told him, you can go and sever Chas HaSholem my limb. The Omele Choyvel, and now the Choyvel asks him, tell me, Almanas Liftar, if I do that, will I be potter from having to pay? Kloimar, and Morley, tell me. And Marli Ata, Amanasha Eye Potter, will I be potter? The Omale Heich Hen. And now the Nechbal, the person who has asked for this punishment, says Yo. The Kamashmal and Masnisen, the Yeshhen Chukalav. How? Going to Matam that Moi. He didn't go and say Yo. He said Yo. Yes. That yes with Azalosh and Bitmiya, sarcastically meaning to say is, what do you think? I'm such a fool, I'm such a nut that I'm going to allow you to go and sever vital limbs and you're going to be potted from paying. What do you mean? Huh? So although technically he said yes, it was really said with a sing-song meaning no. It's good to nishgit. That's Rabbi Yochanan Pshat. Now, what's the Pshat now, the Gabe, the case of the clothing? The clothing was the other way around. If you skip the next Rashi, you go to Rashi, Yesh Lav Shehu Kehen, I Atma Potter. Meaning, we start again, he said, go and tear my garment. And the other person said, if I tear your garments, Amanas, Liftar. And he said, no. That no, he really meant to go and say, yes. And therefore that yes means you are taka potter. So although the Mishnah itself doesn't give us the middle words, meaning it doesn't say in the Reisha that the person said yes, but he said it with a sing-song, sarcastically, and he meant no. And the Sefer, it doesn't say that he said no, but he said it sarcastically, he meant yes. It doesn't say that. But that's pshat in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Zok Rashi, Yishlav Shuken, I Atma. If at the time he said lav, he said him with alosh and bit me sarcastically, then he's potter, because he really meant to say, yes, you're taka potter. But now the obvious question for Eitah Yitzharashi is, behind the knock at chiyu v'legabi make, upaitzeya, upatura legabi mamoina, l'choira, why didn't the Mishnah say the other way around? What would have happened in the Reisha, instead of saying, yes, he would have said, no, and then he would have meant, yes, and therefore you'd be potter. The Sefer he might have said, instead of saying no, he said yes, and he meant sarcastically no, and then he would be chayiv. So instead of saying in the Mishnah, reisha chayiv, and say for potter, it really depends on, did he say it sarcastically or not? If he said yes without sarcasm, then he meant taka to potter him. And if he says no with sarcasm, he also means to be machayiv him. So it really, it doesn't depend on reisha and seifa, body or garment. What it depends on is what was his answer and how did he express his answer. So why does the Mishnah talk about in the reisha that he said yes, but he meant no, and therefore you have to pay? And in the seifa, he said no, but he really means yes, and that's why you bought to pay. You could have changed it all around and said the reisha just the opposite. Said Sakarashi Bahida Noka Chiyuba Lagami Maku Pitseya, Ubutur Lagami Moina, because Orchid Milta Noka, because that's the normal way of things. The Machal Inishama Moina Tvei Me Gufei. So although, yes, halachically, the same halacha would apply, both in the reisha and the seifa, depending on if he said yes sarcastically or no sarcastically, but nevertheless, I'd rather talk about in the reisha a case that he's potter, the seifa case that he's, I'm sorry, the reisha that he's chayiv, the seifa that he's potter, because typically, a person with sarcasm, without sarcasm, he's more concerned about his body than his clothing. Yeah?
Can you redact from the mission if the person puts it in writing mm-hmm. that sarcasm is not an issue, mm-hmm. then it would be binding?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole quality, because the mission just talks about conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We have this ambiguity about, was it sarcastic, was it ironic? If you put it in writing, and somebody says that whole question is removed, mm-hmm. then it's binding. Because the Mishnah talks about conversation.
You're 100% right. So we skip the Rashi in the middle. Let's go back to the Rashi. Hikani Pitzani. Hikani Pitzani was the Braiser where he said, you can go and hit me, I'm an ass lifter, and you'll be potter. What is that case? Zogt Rashi. V'omle zeh an ass lifter. V'om nechbal hen. Zogt Yitz Rashi. Yesh hen shu kelav. The Mishnah is talking about a hen, where he said it sarcastically, he meant no. When he atma, if he said it with sarcasm, then he taki bichayev. The Ibn Ichus ahadre, but if he taki tells the benachas, in other words, without any sarcasm, he asked him, hikani pitzani, I'm an ass lifter? No problem. No. Oh, yes. No. I'm an ass lifter? Yes. No sarcasm, no questioning, no rhetorical comments. Ben Ichus ahadre is taki potter. So therefore, what Rashi is telling us is your case. Ubraisa del el diktani hikani betani manas lifter is potter, but the omar nechbal kula milza. There was no question and answer, and therefore sarcastic. Rabbi told him hikani betani abanas lifter tavadi dafka omaleis. He was not telling him it agedreyachts. Yeah, I said no, but I meant yes. I said yes, I meant no. He told him, you can go and give me a slap in the face. Not a problem, abanas lifter. So therefore, that's your point.
Put it in writing, basically.
You can put it in writing, but you don't have to put it in writing. It all depends on the tone, the way the person said it. Okay, so that's the three pshatim, therefore, our Mishnah. The pshat of, number one, that Pgam Mishpacha. Number two, the reason of Eino Demoichel HaRosh Yevorim. And Rabbi Yochanan that says it depends on you how you sang the words. How you uttered the words. Tanan Bihachi, going to the Braisa, Ikani Pitzani Manas, lift of Omoloi, hen. He said, yeah, you are potter. How do you shen shukalav? There are hens that are really loud. So even though he said hen, yeah, you're potter, he really means that you're going to be chayiv. Kras Ksusya Manas, lift of Omoloi, lav. No, don't worry about it. You'll be potter. Hari lav shuken. There's a lav which is kehen, which he really meant that you'll take be potter, and he will take be potter on those circumstances, under those circumstances. Okay, now getting to the last part of the Mishnah, Shaberes Kadi Kra'es Ksusi Chayv. Same shtick which we just learned. If a person says to somebody else, you can go and break my barrel, you can go and tear my clothing, the person will be Chayv. Freit Moramini, let me ask you a kasha. I have a braisa. Says in the Pasuk, Ki yitzen ish avreyehu kesev akedem lishmar, the gunam beisa ish, and imotzi aganav yishalim shnoi. This is one of the psukim that deals with Hilchos Shomrim. Says the Gemara, when is a shomer chayiv? If it's lishmar v'loy la'abed. The reason why the mafkid gave it to the shomer, because he wanted to go and watch it and not to go and tear it up or ruin it or destroy it. Lishmar v'loy la'kraya, don't tear it up. Lishmar v'loy la'chalek la'niyam, I'm giving you the money but not for purposes for tzedakah to give out to aniyam. We're going to focus on v'loy la'chalek la'niyam later on in a few lines. But now the focus is on the first part of the brisa. Lishmor lo la'abed. When was the Torah mechayiv a shomer dafka that he gave him for shmira? But if he gave it to him la'abed to go and destroy it or likroya, then you're potur. Yet it says in our Mishnah, if he gave his kad or he gave his ksus for purposes of shvira and kriya, then you're chayiv. Here it says kras ksusi chayiv, and here he says if he gave it to him instead of lishmor, he gave it to him likroya, he'd be potter. Is the chayra kasha the Mishnah on the brisa? Amravuna loykash hadosli yodei hadoli osli yodei. It depends if you already handed over the goods for shmira, and at that time he told him, yes, you can go and break it and destroy it. Or he didn't even hand it over yet, it's still lying there on the table, or lying in a corner, and he said, yeah, go and take it and be the shomer on it. What's the difference between case 1 and case 2? Rashi is very succinct. Tosis, however, explains it in greater detail. It's the bottom Tosis. Hod di osel yodei, first of the wide lines. Pidush masnisin shenosel yodei. He handed over the, for instance, the ksus. He gave him the garment. And the omele, shmor, go and watch it. Be a shomer. The imtirtzel lekroya, asekir tzoynchan. If you want to go and tear it, no problem. Do whatever you want. The kivin shechos ala chayfet. Since he has obviously rachmonis on this chayfet, that initially he gave it to him lishmor, shloi omele kroa, he didn't initially tell him to go and tear it. Ad sheboli yodoi, shefkiroi etzloi tchelo. First he gave it to him betoiras, shmira, watch my garment. I, mashenoisin loy reshus lekaroi besim devarav. Why did he continue on and say, and by the way, if you want to, you can let it get torn, or you can tear it. Einoi mekein kedev patroi. He didn't go and tell him that because he wanted to give him an exemption. El betumi milzahu. He wanted to really butter him up and make him favorably disposed to be a shomer on his garment. The Hava, Kadesh Yishmal Baratsim Layidak Shem Yidaktik Imoyoisimidai M Tikra Viyamabidinu. In other words, you have a person going to Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks, and he goes over to his friend, please do me a favor, here's my wallet, here's my shirt, here's my this, here's my that. I want you to watch it for 2 weeks. Oi, I'm just buying me a headache and a nightmare. I know what's gonna happen. He's gonna come back in 2 weeks from now, he's gonna notice that the wallet is slightly damaged, that the shirt is slightly torn, or there's a crease, or there's it's dirty or whatever, and he's gonna have gan tetanus, so supposed to be a shomer. Mali letzarazai, do me a favor, go give it to somebody else. Let somebody else be a shomer. What do I need this headache for? So he tells him in advance, don't worry about it. If it gets torn, it gets dirty, it's okay. Don't worry. Zokti Mora, Zokti Toises. The only reason why I'm telling that Ptumi Milsihu, he's just trying to make him feel good, Kadeshi Yishma Loi Baratzain, that he'll take it willingly, for Lo Yidang, the person won't have all these dagashim, Yidaktikim, or Yoysim Yidai, and Tikkabatam, Yamadabdin, Hudik Amale. The Avil Gab, the Osli Yodai Betaydis Kriya, even though he told him Betaydis Kriya, because Shomali Bishas Nasina, he told him like the choices began. He gave it to him. He told the Shmor v'im tirtza lekroya asekir tzoyncha. The halacha is chayiv al hakriya. He really, really meant to say, be a good shomer, and I want you to watch it carefully. And that he said, yeah, don't worry, you could be a little bit careless. He just wanted to him that he should accept the shomer shaft. But lamasa, he's medaktik. He wants him taka to do a good job, and that's why it says in our Mishnah, if he gave him betoyr shmira, even though he said at the same time, Kras Ksusi, you're chayv. The bride is doing, but lo yasali yadi. What does that mean? Sh'omalei tul chayvitz ploini hamunach sham. You see that chayvitz over there in the corner? Please pick it up. And tishmurlei, then I want you to go and watch it for me. V'imintzimtzoynchan, if you want him to cray, you can even tear it. V'yachach netolin, after that he takatuk it v'kroy and he tore it. T'kim she'en echos olov, since he didn't have such rachmonis on it. He even before it even entered into his hands, he told him, yeah, please go and watch it and don't worry about it if it gets torn. So therefore, what's the difference between hadli asli yadei? Zokt toises asli yadei, even though he told him b'shas masa, I'm giving it to you as a shomer and don't worry about it if it gets torn, he didn't really mean that. That saying, don't worry about it, is only to that he should accept the shmira on him. He really was makbid. How do I see that he's makbid? Because he handed over the goods to him in his hand and says, I want you to be a shomer on my behalf, and don't worry if things don't work out. The second, and therefore he's takachayv. Second case of the Braisa, where he says that his potter is talking about that he didn't even give it to him in his hand. It's there in the corner. And he says, go and pick it up and don't worry if it gets torn or destroyed. Since he told him that even before Asali Yadai, is a simon he doesn't really care so much about it, and therefore you're a potter. However, Rabba is not happy with his teretz. Omale Rabba, Lishmar de Asali Yadai Mashma. Since the Braisa says, Lishmar b'loy la'abid, Lishmar b'loy la'kraya, Shmira means I want you to watch this.
Definition.
By definition. So to go and say, yeah, you know that in the corner over there, go and pick it up. Doesn't sound like Liyasiliyadi, it sounds like Asiliyadi. Yeah. And therefore Rabbi says, this teretz, the Chayra just doesn't hold water. Elomar Rabbi, Havahadi Asiliyadi. Both of them are talking about that the object was given over, the garment was given over to the Shayman. For my Kasha. Our Mishnah is talking about that he initially gave it to Mitoidas Shmira. I want you to watch this begging. Sometime later on, the Shomer says to the Mafkid, do you really care if I tear it or not? I don't care. He really does care. Even though he said that, it's not as a bitume milza, yeah, don't worry. But since he gave Mitoidas Shmira, he'll be chayv. Case of the bride is talking about that initially he gave him a Tertus Kriya. He gave him the garment. He said, why are you giving this to me? You can tear it, you can throw it out. I don't care, I don't need it. Oh, and in such a case, he's not giving him a Tertus Shmira. He's telling him, L'chadchila, I had to do whatever you want with it, so they can go and tear it without any headache. Okay, now returning to the final part of the bride, where it says, Lishma v'loy l'chalik l'aniyim. If somebody gives somebody else money, and he tells him, this money is to be watched, but not to go and distribute it to Aniyim, and subsequently distribute it to Aniyim, what happens? He's potter. Now, what is exactly that case that we're talking about? So, Rashi explains, if you look at the Rashi, Lishmar V'loy La'abed, Lishmar, that's halfway down the Amid, Lishmar V'loy La'abed. And now, don't go to the Kitain, rather skip to 3-4 lines, where it says, when he gave it to him, Oy almanas lechalik laniyim. You have that? It's the fourth line of the Rashi. Yeah, yeah. So he didn't tell him Lishmar, I want you to watch it. If he tells the almanas lechalik laniyim. So like Karina Bey Lishmar, if the reason why he gave it to him was lechatchila, that it should be distributed to the poor, so then he didn't give it to him to be a shoimer, to keep the omalei chalkeu, since he told him, your job is to go and distribute the funds. Suloi the mafkininu. He's telling him, I part ways with these monies, these are not my monies, they're now yours, you distribute them. And therefore, man ketova, the mafkid can no longer be tevea, he's no longer la baldvarm didiat. He already basically was mafkid them, it's not mine. I let the aniyim come and be tovei him and bezin. The aniyim li matzu tavi, del cholchad v'chad matzi amar, lavdi dachni avina, el l'achrini. I don't have to give it to you. After all, there are quite a few solicitors that come around every day. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to him and to them. So therefore, it's a moment she'ein loy toivin. The person that originally gave it to him parted with it and says, it's no longer mine. Yes, give it out. The aniyim themselves, although they can come into bezin and say whatever they want, l'maisa, he can go and be docha each one by saying, not for you, not for you, loy lecha, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha, af lecha, but somebody else, and therefore he's off the hook. So the Gemara, that lechoida falls in the face of a story. Three lines from the bottom, who arnikud et tzedakah, there was a wallet, a pouch of money, of tzedakah, the Asa Pabadisa came to Pabadisa. After the Rav Yosef Gabi Ahu Gavra, Rav Yosef says Rashi was the Gabai, he was the Gabai Tzedakah, and he himself didn't watch over it, presumably because he himself was blind. So therefore he gave it to someone who Baruch Hashem has eyesight. You watch over this peckle of money. Pashiba, this person was not careful, and he was Posheya. So even if he was a Shemachinim, he's Chayv B'Pshia. Also, Ganvi Ganvua, Ganovim came and they stole the money. Chayv Rav Yosef, Yosef says, you are Posheya, you gotta pay. But then we just learned the advice of Lishma v'loy l'chalik aniyim. And like Rashi said, the mafkid has no right to go and be toveya because he just gave it to him and he says it's yours. The aniyim can't be toveya because it's not moment balim, it's not moment sheish by toivim, because he can say I can give it to somebody else. So how is Rav Yosef Machayim to go and pay? Amalei aniyah de pambadisa make its kayitz lehu v'lishmar hu. What does this mean? Explains Rashi, because in Pumbedisa they had a list of weekly distributions and allocations to the Aniye Ircha, where every week Mr. Smith got $10, and Mr. Jones got $20, and Mr. Rosenberg got $50, etc., etc. And so therefore, they are Tovin. It's not a case of blind tzedakah, you can give it to whoever you want. And therefore, any recipient, he can be docha, not for you, but for somebody else. Here, Jones and Smith and Rosenberg are on the master list of getting every single week, so they are the tovim. Look at the last Rashi. Kitzluhu, kayitzluhu, mon and kach, v'kach, v'shabbos, chol echad, v'kach, v'shabbos, every single week, each one got a certain allocated amount. Now this moment has toivim. Smith could say, what are you talking about? For 20 years now I'm getting $10 a week. Therefore he does have Hilcha Shmira, and that's different than the Braisa, which is talking about unallocated funds, 20. The fact that they're balabatim. In other words, the fact that exactly, it's now a toin. Who are the toin? The Rosenbergs and the Smiths and the Joneses that get every single week. They say, we didn't get our weekly allocation. Who's in charge? You're in charge. Where's the money? He was poshea. You got to go and pay for your pshia, for your negligence. We start a brand new perek, Rabbi Isai. But we already learned the essentials of this perek already back on Daf Samach Vav and Samach Zayin, and that's the halacha of shinui koine by a gazlan. What means shinui koine? Shteitachim pasik. The heishiv is a gzeila asher gozal. If a gazlan steals something, he has to return it. The words asher gozal are redundant and superfluous. The heishiv is a gzeila. You got to return the gzeila. Which gzeila? Asher gozal that you stole. Of course, I can't return a gzeila that I didn't steal. I can only return a gzeila that I stole. So asher gozal is ifrik. Therefore, zokta the Gemara, if it's ke'en she'gozal, it's still in the same form as it was originally, you have to give it back. However, if it's changed forms through a shini maisa, we also talked about a shini Hashem, or a shini rishus, we're focusing today on a shini maisa.
Is this yishu quality here that we have?
We don't have to talk about yishu, we're talking about shini maisa today. Mitchum, don't be miyayish, we're going to get to yish, don't worry. But anyway, we're talking about shini maisa. The shini maisa is koine. Now, koine doesn't mean that now the gazan belongs to him, okay, he's off the hook, because in any gazan, the first thing he'll do is go and make some shinoi, and he doesn't have to pay. It means that he doesn't have to give back the original goods, because he's changed the original goods, but he has to go and pay for the original goods. Kishas hagzela, how much which was worth at that time when he stole.
He
may have enhanced it. That's correct. As Yimara, as Misha will explain. Hagoyzelaitzim, a person stole wood. At the moment, we assume we're talking about wood, like wood from trees, with the bark on it and the schmutz on it. And what did he do with that wood? Basun kalim, and he refined it and he planed it. He made it, and then he eventually made from it furniture or kalim, vessels or whatever. Tzemer, he stole wood, raw wool, rud tzemer. Basun begodim, and he now, first, of course, you have to go and clean it and you have to purify it, blah, 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 and then he made it into thread, and from thread he made it into begodim. Or what happens with these two? Mishalim kishas gzeila. In other words, he's allowed to retain for himself the kli. He doesn't have to give it back, like the top Rashi says. Mishalim kishas gzeila to may eitzim b'tzemer. He has to go and pay the value of the wood or of the wool. Ve'in chayv lahasal kelim dekani b'shina. He can keep those for himself. He's enhanced it, like the Choshev doctor has told us. Therefore, he can go and keep it, but he has to go and pay kishas gzeila. And the Orkshas Exalim. And our Mishnah goes and gives you further examples in the same vein. Gozal Paru Muberes. What happens? A person stole a Paru Muberes, was pregnant. The Yolda, and in his Rishus, it gave birth. Rochel to Una Vigozza. You have sheep that has on the back of it lots of wool, and he was Gozes it. Mishalim Dmei Paru Oimedes Leilet, Udmei Rochel Oimedes Ligozes. In other words, the fact that this animal was previously pregnant and now is no longer in pregnancy because the animal has given birth. Same thing legabe the Rochel. Until now it was full of wool. Now that he's shorn the wool off the back, a brand new Rochel. So in both of these cases, he is koine b'shinoi. The Dmei Parah, again, he has to go and pay kishas ha'gzeila. What was the shas ha'gzeila? A Parah oimedes leilet. It was pregnant at the time. Whatever that amount is, he got to pay. Dmei Rochel oimedes ligozes, a woolly lamb, a woolly sheep. How much was that? Whatever that amount is, kishas ha'gzeila, that's after you have to go and pay.
In the case of the Parah that gave birth, he's getting back for less than if the stealing would not have happened. Why? Because he's taking a chance again. Maybe the poro will die during the birth.
Childbirth?
And this one didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, this...
He's not getting back a cow. He's getting a cow.
The value of a cow and a calf. And not only a pregnant cow. Henochanam stole a pregnant cow, but right. A pregnant cow went full birth. So now that he's getting the value of a pregnant cow, he has to buy a pregnant cow, he might lose the cow, which would not have, which de facto didn't happen because the cow survived the birth. So the Chayre is getting less back than was stolen from him. In the case of Giza, okay, it's not, I mean, it was...
It's not life-threatening.
There's no risk.
The risk is built into the price. In other words, if I want to go to my famous favorite behemoth store, a behemoth which is not pregnant has one value, a behemoth that is pregnant has another value. The presumption in our Gemara is that the pregnant animal is worth more than the non-pregnant animal, because this animal, presumably roiv animals give birth to live infants, and Emir Tashem is going to have a bounty, he's going to have a dividend.
A mother than a cow is worth more than a pregnant cow, that's the question.
That's probably true. Once the animal gives birth, presumably.
And this animal gave birth. So the mice.
But the Shas Gazela, maybe the animal was died in childbirth. And you didn't know. So you're giving the price based on the time of Gazela.
At the time of Gazela was worth kach v'kach, that's how much you have to go and
that's
pay.
That's the risk that he says is built into the price.
Exactly. The risk is that maybe the animal will die, won't die, it'll hemorrhage, it'll have problems, I have to go send it to the veterinarians. All these are potential problems. I'm just looking at it, the snapshot at the time of the Gzela. At that time, whatever it was worth, that's how much you have to pay. The chiddush of this part of the Mishnah is that he didn't create the shinoi. The parum uber is the yolda, Kodesh Baruch Hu called it to be yolda. But nevertheless, it's a shinoi, there's a shinoi maisa. Still, kishah sagzela.
The gozeis he did.
That's, I agree. But the chiddush of this part of the Mishnah is the parum uber. Continuing on, gozel parum in his abra etzloi, the yolda. Oh. He, under his aegis, under his control, the animal got pregnant and gave birth. Racham and Etana etzloi the gozeza. Mishalim kishasik zed. All goes back to the original shasik zed. What the chidushim are from all these parts of the Mishnah, yet Shem will see more in the Gemara. Zeaklal, the general rule is, chalagazlan and mishalim kishasik zed. Again, zeaklal lasuyimai. I've already given already 3, 4, 5 examples. Yet Shem will see vaita in the Gemara. Good. Now we started off the Mishnah, and the Mishnah we were talking about dramatic change. What was dramatic change? From Eitzim all the way to finished goods to the Kelim. We started with Tzemer, finished goods, Begodim. Now there is at least one or two middle stages. What was the middle stage between Eitzim and Kelim? That's the stage of Shipon. Shipon in English is plane, to plane it. We don't mean like an airplane, but we're talking about a plane means such a thing. You process the raw wood and you make it, for instance, into boards and or into lumber, which are now can be used to go and create a table. If you ever wanted to go and build this table out of wood, you can't just go and cut down the wooden trees and say, okay, now let me go and put the tree here and now everybody sit around, we have a tree. Exactly. And mitishmutz, mitiganze. Exactly. That's why the rabbi said that, exactly. Anyway, and the same thing applies to the tzemer. Alright, shine. Tzemer vason begodim. Tzemer vason begodim, there too. You can't just go and take the raw wool and say, okay, let's go and mishmash and now we have a beggar. You gotta go and clean it. Exactly, you gotta go and clean it and you have to go and afterwards and you comb it and you brush it and spin it and you make it into thread and then you have to weave it. Exactly, this agansa malucha. So you're telling me, l'choyer from my Mishnah, only these major changes, that's the shinoi, that's kaina. Bring Timur Amri Eitzvason Kalim in Shipon Loi. What happens if he just took the original tree with the bark, and all he did was Shipon, and he made it into boards, into lumber? L'choyer in that. Tzemer Vason Begodim in Libnon Loi. What happens if he took that tzemer, and all he did was Malabin it? Malabin, of course, means to make it white, but it doesn't mean to whiten it by dyeing it with white paint or something, a white dye. It means to clean it out, to bleach it, because when you take it off the back of the animal, it's usually all different types of colors. It's the suit, just like our white snow after 1 hour here in Manhattan, it turns all black. So here too, the beautiful fleece on the back of the animal also turns dark and black. So you have to go and clean it out. So that's Masha. That wouldn't be enough of a Shinoi. Yet, in a minute, you'll ask your Kasha. It says in the Braisa, Gozel Eitz and Meshipan, Avonim Mesisison. Sisison means to go and chisel them if they were not straight and not flat, and you had to go and chisel them down so that they should become flat. Tzemer V'Livna. Oh, Tzemer, and he was Malabinit. Pishtam V'Niko. If he had flax and he had to remove from it whatever chaff or whatever byproduct. Mishalm Kishasa Gzela. So we see you don't have to go to that finished product, even the middle product of just the Shipon that he made into a board, or that he went and cleaned out the Tzemer. That's enough for a Shinoi. Amar Rabbi, Tana Didon Katani Shinoi D'Rabbanan, Tehadra, Bekoshken Shinoi D'Araisa. Our Mishnah is trying to tell you a greater chiddush in the Braisa. It's telling you not only a shina d'oraisa, but even a shina d'rabbanan, the hadra, that it can be choizer libriyosai, that you can dismantle or disravel or unravel that change and make it back to the way it was before. And avada avada shina d'oraisa. So, for instance, eitzvason kelim, the eitzim mishupin. We're talking about that he started off with Eitzim Meshupim. In other words, not like when we send the Mishnah Goizel Eitzim, he stole the trees. He stole the boards. Umay Ninu Nesarim, the boards. Ah, the Shinid the Hadal Biyasu. What did he do with that board? He took one big large board. He put two boards together with a nail or two. And now he made the top of a table and he put underneath it some other smaller boards to make the feet, and he has a table. If he wanted to, he goes and takes a good hammer that has that back to it, and he pulls out all the nails, and it's quite simply also the same boards it was before, except that it has a couple of holes in it. But it's basically the same. And therefore, the Shinich HaLabiyasuhu, that if he wanted to, he can take the boards out and dismantle what he just built. So we're not talking like we learned originally in the Mishnah, that the Eitzim were totally raw wood, mit the bark, mit the shmutz. It was already boards. And from the boards, he made it into tables and chairs or vessels or whatever. Since it's Chois Lebrios, it may not tell you that this wouldn't be a full-fledged Shinoi. It's Midrabonin, and Kolshkein Adirais. Same thing with Rabbi Tzemer, Vasan Begodim. We're not talking about Tzemer, the raw, dirty wool from the back of the animal. But Tzemer Tovoi, we're talking about that it was already thread. They were ready spools of thread, and what he do with that thread? He made from it a baguette. The shinu dechad al biyasehu. The iboy sasalei. If you wanted to, you can go and take out all the threads. It would take a while to go and pull all the threads out, but you can do it. And therefore, it's a vayter a shinu chayz al biyaseh. And therefore, it's only a shinu derabbanon. The kolshken shinu deraisa, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. The Tana of the Braisa didn't want to get into such gross chidushim. Therefore, just told the Shinoi deraisa k'toni, Shinoi rabbanon lo k'toni. How no for Shinoi deraisa? He's not talking about the Shinoi derabbanon. So that's teretz number one. And therefore, we start off our Mishnah. We're not talking about the raw goods eitzim. We're talking about mishupin. We're not talking about the raw tzemer. It's only tzemer tofu. Okay. Rav Ashi Omar no Tana didan nami Shinoi deraisa k'toni. Eitzim ason kelim buchni. The Hainu Shipon. You assume that we started off with the Eitzim. He made it into Kalim, meaning into a fertig, a table, a chair, a vessel. No. All he did was Shipon. Now Shipon alone, if you go and take your raw wood and you plane it and take off the outside bark, etc., that's not a Kalim. He made a Buchni out of it. If it's a pshuta kliyeh. The question is, it depends if it's a base kibble or not. But then we're getting off on a tangent because we're not talking about Hilchos Tumah Tara. Yeah, of course. And of course, to understand this Gemara, you have to use your kalim too. But anyway, beginning back to the Gemara says Buchni. What's I said? Buchni? Buchni is a pestle. It's spelled with a T, so some people call it pestle, but I believe it's pronounced mortar and pestle. And the pestle you use to go and crush up all different types of spices. That's the mortar, not the mortar. And the article says the pestle. Anyway, if you buy a set, then let me know which one's the mortar, which one's the pestle. Good, but the point is that you use this raw, you use this raw piece of wood to go and, so all he had to do was Itaka stole the real raw wood, the raw wood that has the bark on it. He was reshapa it, he took off all the outside trimmings, yeah, now it's nice boards, or small boards, big boards, whatever. And instead of building it into Kalim, he stopped. He said, all I need this now is to go and crush my spices, and he used it as a buchni. Similarly, Zog to Chravashi. for our purposes, it's enough of a shinoi. It's enough of a shinoi. The hainu shippon. Therefore, our mission is just like the Braisa. The Braisa said, Gozel ate him a shippon. That's what he did. He stole the ate him and he made him to buchni, which is a case of shippon. Semer vason begodim. Namti. Namti means felt. What means felt? Felt means that you go and take raw wool and you press it with a fancy press, and as a result, it gets pressed together and you can wear it as it is. You don't need to go and now clean it. You don't need to go and stitch it. You don't need to go and make it into threads. Once you press this wool, it becomes pressed forever. But once again, it wasn't the final stage of cleaning and making it into thread, making the garden. You just took the raw wool and you pressed it. You made felt out of it. Okay, so therefore that was the teretz that Rav Ashi gave to understand our mission. But now, back in that braisa, we use the expression that if he stole semer, the libnon, it's also considered to be a shinoi, mishal m'kishas egzev. Break to him, the libnon mi'av a shinoi. Cleaning it out is a shinoi. Reminu, lo'i hispik litnoi lo'i, ad shetzevo'oi, potur. Libnon v'lo'i tzevo'oi is chayv. What is this referring to? This is referring to the mitzvah of reishis hages. If a person owns sheep, and each year the sheep produce a certain amount of wool, the ratios, again, the ratios of that, the beginning parts of it, in other words, the first shearings, you have to give to the kohen. What's the shear of the shear? In the Torah, there is no shear given. You have to go and give one out of 60. Now, how much the total amount that accumulates, the minimum shear that you have to go and give to the kohen? So Rashi says, the minimum shear that you have to go and give is talking about that it has mono upras. Five recheilois, goizizois kol achas mono upras. If you own at least five lambs, five sheep, and you're able to be goizes from each one at least the weight of a mono upras, then you chai bereshus, I guess. How much do you have to give? 1/60th of that you have to give me drabanan to the kain. Good.
It's also cut, right? It's enough to weave a small
basically.
What is the
pshat
if he dies
his
potter to do?
No question about it. Excuse me. However, he does have a chiv, and he's being mevatel his chiv. What it says is, like hispik litnei like achit savoy. What happens if he didn't get the opportunity to give the rachis against to the coin, but instead he was tzveyit, meaning not only did he go and clean it out, but he was tzvei, he dyed it, then he's potter. Now why is he potter? So if you look at the Rashi potter, about 10 lines lower in the Rashis, hold your place in the Gemara potter, look at Rashi potter, the kanya b'shinoi, he was kanya b'shinoi, that it's no longer the old original wool, now it's a beautifully dyed wool. This is basically like momish ein lo toivim, because any coin that comes to me says, I don't have to give it to you, I can give it to him. I can give to Yankel a coin, I can give Beryl a coin, I can give Shmerel a coin, I can give to any coin I want to. So the part, sometimes this person doesn't deserve to get shishi, and he certainly doesn't deserve to get coin. However, he's parted from having to go and pay, because it's no longer righteous, I guess, because it's been konui b'shino. Exactly. Nobody said moment chain loy type. And the price continues. Libnoi the loy tzvoi. What happens if he was only malabinit and he did not die? It is chayv. In other words, libun does not affect a shinoi, and you do have to give from that rachis again to the coin. He says libun tzivua tzivia patters, because that is a shinoi. Libun is not a shinoi. But you said before the libun is a shinoi. Make up your mind. Is libun a shinoi or not a shinoi? Again, we're talking about rachis. I guess to be mitzaref, the five shepslach together, to have a shiur chiyuv to go and give to the kohen. If gozazoi, after the gziza of one of them, tavoi, he spun it into thread, the orgoi, and after that he went and made agan sariga, he weaved it. In all of these cases, ain mitzaref. It's not mitzaref to the next shepsel and the next shepsel. Why not? Because it's got to be all at one time that he's goizes, and now he has all the raw wool as one. If each one of them has at least, as Rashi, a manu pras, five of them, then you have a chiyuv of reishis hages. If he went in between each geziza, he took some of this wool and he made it into thread, or he did a weaving. Toises talks about the fact, what do you mean he made a weaving? If he already spun into thread, that's already enough. You don't have to talk about the weaving. So Toises talks about that, the middle Toises. But getting back to Agmara, then ain't a mitzaref. But what happens if Libnoi, if he didn't do any spinning into thread, and he didn't do weaving, he just libnoi. If Shimon Oymer ain't mitzvah, the libin enough is enough to go and make a shinoi, so it's not mitzvah to the rest of the wool. Chamoy mitzvah, it is mitzvah. So what do I see from this? A machloket between Reb Shimon and Chacham, where the libin is considered to be a bona fide shinoi or not. Rav Amar and Reb Shimon both hold like Reb Shimon. When you talk about libun, cleaning it, there are two different ways of cleaning it. Naftinafutzi means that you do it with your hands. In other words, you have a whole bunch of raw wool, and with your fingers and your hands, you try to go and draw out the schmutz, and you try to go and comb it with your hands. Asarki Saruki means that you take a professional comb, with a professional brush, and this, and that, of course, takes out a lot of the schmutz much better than your fingers do. So therefore, if you did a naftinafutzi, this is gornished. You do a Saruki Saruki. Okay, this is Ashana Ashinoi that everybody would agree. The Bchibar Avin Omar had the Chavri Chavri had the Chavri Kivruye. Chavri Chavri means that he went and, for instance, he put it into water and he mixed it to go and whiten it up to take out the schmutz, to take out all the impurities, etc. So that's how he made it white. The Chavri Kivruye means that he made it with a ganze process. Rashi says Begofris Lislabin Yofa. He used sulfur and that really takes out the impurities. And so therefore, Azah Fancy Shmancy Chavri Kivruye, that's a Liban Shiesh by Shinoi. But just going and putting in water and whitening it out, this is good. Great Mariat. Hashi Yeshloy Metsev Reb Shimon Loy Have Shinoi. Reb Shimon said before the Gabe Tzvoi that it's not a Shinoi. No, I'm sorry, we didn't get to that Reb Shimon yet. We're going to get to Reb Shimon in a moment. According to Reb Shimon, Tzev Loy Have Shinoi, and you're telling me Libun Have Shinoi because it says Libnoi Reb Shimon Oymer Ain Mitzarev. It's not Mitzarev because it's a Shinoi. I'll show you that Reb Shimon holds it Tzvoi Loy Have Shinoi. The Sanya Gozas Rishon Rishon Utzvoi Rishon Rishon Utzvoi Rishon Rishon Vargoi. Ein mitzarif. All these things are not mitzarif, including tzviya. Reb Shimon, Yehuda, Ein Mishim, Reb Shimon, tzvoi is mitzarif. So even though you dyed it, it is mitzarif. Isn't dying much more than just libun? Exactly. Amar Rabbi Leikasha, Rabban Ali Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon, Yehuda ben Ali Reb Shimon. Is the machloek is what Reb Shimon really held. This Reb Shimon that we just quoted in the Brisa was Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Reb Shimon. He holds him mitzvoi is mitzarif. And the previous Reb Shimon was Rabban Ali Reb Shimon. So the machloek is between the Chachamim, what did Reb Shimon really hold? Rav Amar Lo Ilam Lo Pli, Rabban Ali Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. There's no machloek. The tzeva that we're talking about was just a temporary dye, which can easily be removed by putting it in soap. If you go and put it in soap and detergent, the dye comes out in. It's washable dye. We said before that if you wait until tzviya, your pot, it's not mitzarif. And that goes according to everybody, even according to Reb Shimon. Talking about the color elon. What's my color elon? We have color elon always by tzitzis, that by tchelis.
And the forgery is the fake stuff.
It's the fake stuff, but that is a permanent dye that remains. If a person, those people that have the blue tchelis strands in their tzitzis, if they put into the washing machine, presumably it remains blue and remains blue, it doesn't go away. So therefore, the same thing by this color elon is permanent. Zokt the Gemara. Even the Gabe Tseva, we can go and distinguish between Tseva, which is permanent, Dosai is Tashinoi, and Tseva, which is not permanent, is not considered to be a Shinoi. Om Rabbi Mitchum, we'll learn tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.